This is the Jeanette and Jay John Show on Asian Pop Radio, and we are excited, honored, ecstatic. What other words, Jeanette?
Happy.
Happy to have Yo in the studio with us. How are you going, Yo?
Yeah, good. How are you?
Good. It's fantastic to have you in the studio with us today. For those unaware of your work, how would you describe your style and your genre?
I guess it's like rough electronic pop.
Yeah,
that's how I would describe it. Yeah.
Did you at some stage sit down and think, what am I going to do with my life? I'm going to get into electropop. Or was it something that just kind of eventuated?
It just kind of eventuated. It was a very natural process. But yeah, I don't know. Like, I've just never had money. So that's why that's the rough part. That's like why it's rough. Because it's lo-fi.
Yeah.
But
we can understand that.
Yeah.
Music seems to cost money that before it makes money, right?
That's right. That's right.
Who initially got you thinking about music? Was there any influences, like perhaps through family avenues or, perhaps a friend? Or did you just go out and find it for yourself?
I think when I was 7 years old, I guess my dad has been musical but never taken it seriously. He can sing quite well and... Well, that's kind of it, but in school, I guess I wasn't very popular, so I got into like hip hop,
yeah,
and
became popular.
I just really got into music, like
right.
Hip hop and heavy metal were like my first two.
So when you say you weren't popular at school, you meant that you
had a lot of time to spend alone,
just listening.
Yeah.
To so what kind of hip hop were you listening to?
Actually, it's really funny. One of the big albums was the Marshall Mathers LP.
Right.
By Eminem.
Always a good one.
I think everyone was kind of introduced to hip hop that way.
But aside from that, like Wu-Tang was big and Dr. Dre, Snoop Dogg.
Yeah.
All the homies.
So how do you think your style has changed over the years? Has it matured, or do you think it's going in a different way?
I'm definitely learning a lot about production every year that goes past. I guess just because new music keeps coming out and I keep trying to copy it, shamelessly. That's kind of the way I learn. And you hear like sounds or production techniques and you're like, oh yeah, I guess I could figure out how to do that, and it sounds really sweet. So yeah, I think it's definitely evolved. I don't know how much of the backstory you know, but there was one stage in my career where I released a country folk album.
Oh wow, didn't see that.
Still available.
But yeah. I think everyone does that in their music career. Maybe a bit country today, and then just release a whole album and just went.
So I decide my outfit in the morning. Maybe a bit country today.
I was a bit country.
The snake boots or the hat.
I was a bit country this morning. I don't know how it happened, but I was, preparing for Asian Pop Radio stuff, and then all of a sudden I just had a feeling that I wanted to listen to some Paul Kelly, and then I listened to In the City, which
That's
really
so
love, and then before I knew it was like Slim Dusty was playing, and I was like, wow, this is a bit different, but...
Spiraling in the country.
Country music for me is not the kind of thing I would go out of my way to listen to, but when it comes on, it's really quite enjoyable just to sit back and take it all in.
Yeah,
right?
Definitely.
No, you're not a
really
fan.
Really relaxing to listen to.
She's out.
Really relaxing.
Who were some of your music influences then? Are there any other artists that have really inspired you to keep going with it?
That's a very broad question.
Yeah.
I listen to a lot of music. What I really listen to is a lot of R&B and soul music. And lately, relative to this show, K-pop has been like pretty high on my radar.
Oh, really?
Yeah, just the last couple of years, which is great.
Who do you like?
I'm a big fan of Dean. I know everyone loves Dean, but...
Yeah.
But like he's kind of got it together, and he's keeping it low key but not at the same time.
Yeah,
he's
went like on a different path with his music, right?
Totally. But like Jay Park is great. He can do everything, and I admire him because he like built his career from the ground up. Like started with nothing, did it all himself, and
he's coming back again in July, I believe.
Yes, to Sydney.
Yeah, we'll have to take
Sydney
a trip
only?
Up to Sydney again.
Is that sold out yet?
Oh, tickets aren't on sale
yet. It's more of a hip hop event, isn't it?
Yeah.
So Loco
Loco's coming.
Yeah.
ZMT as well.
You all might the have to, big names.
You might have to weasel your way into that.
I hope my, I ordered a long sleeve tee, Follow the Movement one, like 2 days ago.
Oh, wow.
When they just released the international store. So hopefully it gets here in time.
You need to get your manager onto these people. You need to be their part of the lineup.
Oh, that'd be nice.
So have you actually had a chance to meet any of your idols? Perhaps any K-pop artists or more broadly?
I've met Stevie Wonder.
Wow.
Should be more excited about that. If I met Stevie Wonder, I'd be crying. But,
you guys, you know, he's not a K-pop artist, though.
You guys know the drill with meeting your heroes. It can go one of two ways. It's like either awesome because they're great.
Yeah.
Or they're so overworked and been so busy and they've met like a billion people that same day that they don't really want to engage with you.
Yeah.
So that was your experience?
That was Stevie. Yeah. Yeah. Another one of my idols, I hope she doesn't hear this podcast, but I'm a massive fan. Do you guys know an artist called Maribel?
She's
based here in Melbourne.
Yeah, we actually had her in the studio.
Oh, you had her in the studio. Okay.
Yeah.
We're definitely going to DM her now.
Sweet.
Make sure
don't.
Listen to our show.
I'm like obsessed with her. I mean, she doesn't know this. Like we've now been in the studio together and hung out a couple of times.
Right.
And she's like the opposite. She's like real sweet and really nice.
Yeah.
And like great to talk to and helpful with like career stuff. And
yeah, definitely. Because she just used to like sing covers and that. But now she's like worked up to like producing her own music. And I think she started her own label
Got her own label.
She's amazing. And she's quite young. Just done so much.
And she was the opener for Caitrinada here in Melbourne as well.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, look, that's our home girl.
Wow. See, I was just excited she was a Dandy Girl. And we talked about that in our market.
Oh my God, you would.
Back.
You would.
Yeah.
Did you work with her on any of her last releases?
No.
Or Override?
Wasn't lucky enough for that.
Right.
I'm small fry compared to some of the producers she's working with. So,
you've got to work on those Asian Pop Radio connections. Get something happening.
She just called me in to do a session with a mutual friend of ours. Her name's Mimi, and she's really, really like energetic and talented. And she's just trying to get a collection of songs together.
Yeah.
And went to Maribel for help. And yeah, so we all got pulled in together. And it was a great experience.
Fantastic. Yeah. Well, other than her, who else would you like to collaborate with?
You know, I've been listening to a lot of the producers, this duo that's worked with Drake recently, Majid Jordan.
All right.
So they did the song, Just Hold On, We're Coming Home. We're going home.
Amazing.
Never remember.
we're just going to be home.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My love. Anyway, they have this thing that they do where they like take really crap sounds and then make them sound good.
Wow.
And like,
imagine what they could do with our show.
I try to do that and I failed. So, you know, when you get your Spotify summary at the end of the year, they were like at the top of my list.
Wow. Dang.
Like followed by Rihanna. So, yeah.
Fantastic. So Rihanna another one.
Yeah, so close.
I'll never meet those two.
She's amazing though. Yeah, I don't think she can do anything wrong. And anytime I'm iffy about any of her releases, it only takes about a week or two before I'm like, oh my God, how was I unsure about this? Anything she's done is just so, she's really adventurous.
Yeah.
And that's what I admire about her the most.
She is. But like, I mean, in Asia, you guys know Crush?
Yep.
He's a sick producer.
Yep.
Oh my goodness. Like when I heard some of his like earlier SoundCloud stuff that's like more instrumental, but he does sing a bit in it. But he's dope.
Yeah, and incredibly popular at the moment.
Oh, totally. Yeah. Who's the guy? Gray does a lot of production for, I think, like Dean and that whole family.
Oh, yeah.
He's sick. And then there's like Cha-Cha Malone. My boy Cha-Cha. Every time I hear that, I need a Cha-Cha beat, boy. Yeah. I'm just like,
that's all you
I
can
lose
think
it.
Of.
I lose.
Jeanette says that in between every song we do on it.
I drop everything and I'm like, yeah, this year.
Now you've just got me thinking of Jay Park and his hot tub. Not good.
When don't we think about
exactly,
Jay Park?
Exactly, yeah. How often do you actually just go home after a busy day, dim the lights, relax, and put on your own music and just allow yourself to enjoy it?
My own music?
Yeah.
Never.
Yeah.
Ever.
It's a shame.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
Because it's the kind of thing, and we do it the same thing with Asian Pop Radio. We exhaust ourselves with producing things and editing things, and you go home and you don't even listen to what the show is.
Yeah.
Like, you just
you've heard it too many times.
Because you're just tired.
I know people who don't watch them, like actors and actresses that don't watch them their movies.
Like, but it would give you a different kind of like mindset about the music you're making, wouldn't it? Like, if you had a chance to just sit down and enjoy it and hear it from the listener's perspective.
I think when I'm working on it, I go into critical mindset.
Right. Yeah.
And it's never like after a day of work or anything like, well, yeah, sometimes it is, but I've still got my critical ears on. It's when all the songs are completely finished and then, and it's, say it's a collection, like a, an album or an EP. And when they're all done and they're like sitting in a playlist already, sure, and you can just chuck it on. As opposed to like right now, my album, the one that I'm working on, is all in different sessions and the MP3s are called stupid names. Yeah. And like, you know, they're not in a playlist. So
my
I'm not
whole MacBook right now. You have a
keyboard mash. Yeah, enter. Yeah, no. So that, yeah, it's quite rare that that happens where I just go home, sit down and like soak it all in. You do have to give it a complete listen several times before putting something out. So,
but do you perhaps revisit some work, some tracks you've been working on that don't eventuate to a full track, you know, maybe 6 months, 12 months later, and all of a sudden go, oh, I could see what I was trying to do with that, but maybe now I've heard a few different things and I might take it in a different direction?
Yeah, definitely. The last single was like that. Not last year, but the year before, I was in Iceland for 2 months and I wrote like maybe 5 songs while I was there.
Yep.
And then I just sat on one for ages and then I released that song at the end of last year after making a hell of a lot of changes, but it was good because like all that time had passed and when I listened to it again, I was like, I can see the potential now. I just need to change this, this and this and this.
Right.
And then sometimes the you need time to pass before you get a fresh take.
Obviously going to Iceland, pretty interesting experience. Mm. Is that perhaps a favorite gig thus far or do you have something that sort of rates a bit higher?
I don't think I've had anything as awesome. It's just it's like if you're a fan of nature, Iceland is like the best the world has to offer because it's so alien looking. Like
right,
it doesn't look like Earth when you're there. Yeah, yeah, pristine, and it's like super low population.
And yeah, actually, we were only talking about Iceland last night. I have no idea how we got onto that conversation over drinks.
Yeah,
but 300,000 people.
Yeah,
like I didn't realize it was so low. Like that's the southeast.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, amazing.
Right. It's there's no such thing as traffic jams. Yeah, apart from one day of the year when they have a big festival in Reykjavik. Yeah, that's like the best place I've been to for, you know, mind expansion.
Yeah,
but I love going to Japan and I just was in Korea recently as well. And like I've been to Japan like 5 times now.
Looking for J-Park.
just like,
as you are
do,
you here?
Just like just Googling where he might be.
Following you on Instagram, yeah, looking at his geotags. Exactly. Like,
he's just walking around a map trying to find SM and YG Entertainment like everyone else.
I really enjoy that side of Asia. Like half of the food, like because the food's amazing. Yeah. But
does food ever make it into your musical influences?
It did a couple of albums.
You've written
ago.
A few songs about food.
Yeah, I have, and it's cheesy. But like literally,
get it because it's cheesy.
Yeah. But yeah, I don't know. So like at some point, maybe this year, early next year, I want to head to South America because Patagonia looks pretty nice and
fantastic. Yeah.
They share like similar seasons to us. So yeah, it'll be quiet during summer, hopefully, and I can go.
Now, before we talk about your upcoming album, if we're allowed to talk about that.
Yeah, you're allowed to
talk about it. I thought I'd ask you a couple of questions about Gambaru.
Yeah.
So, we just added that. Thanks to your manager to sending it through.
Great.
And I have to say, like, I sat down on Friday night and, with, you know, like any other radio session, we kind of decide, like, what should be high rotation, what we should be adding for a little bit of an extra play and that kind of thing.
Mm.
And I found it really hard because every song, even though it might not necessarily be the thing that I would you know it's not completely poppy, it's not what we usually play on heavy rotation, but I just found it really hard to decide which one was better than the next.
Sure.
Because they're all amazing.
That's really kind.
Yeah. I'm really interested to find out how many songs you were working on before you got them down to, you know, the I think it's about 9.
Yeah,
right? Yeah,
I ended up I think for Gambaru with about 13.
Right. Yeah.
And the ones that didn't make it, there's two that I'm still hanging on to because my team and I, for some reason, just have this thing. We like it. So we're like trying to find a plan for it later. But yep. I don't know. It might get dated by then.
The repackage.
Yeah, the repackage. But like...
exclusive song.
Yeah, a couple of them like got snuck out on either compilations or as B-sides. Yeah, that was the first album where I actually had to cull and...
Wow.
It was painful.
Yeah.
I did not enjoy
it. Is it like letting one
that.
Of your babies go?
Yeah. It's just, it's kind of like separating your babies. It's like you can't hang with them anymore.
You're my favorite.
Yeah.
You're
yeah.
This became very dramatically sad.
Sorry.
It looked like you started getting a bit of heart trouble palpitations. Yeah. Okay. So let's talk about your upcoming album.
Sure.
What's the kind of thing, what are people going to hear when they get their hands on it?
If they have been listening to me for a while, this new album, I think it's just a natural evolution as well as like an expansion of the kind of things that I'm trying to do. The last album was like quite rough. Like you hear me buried down under the production a fair bit. Like there's lots of layers and stuff. There's still layers on this new one, but my voice is like right up front.
Oh,
this
yeah.
Time.
Wow.
And yeah, it's the first one I'm getting someone else to mix it for me.
Sure.
And
so this is from a mastering point of view, is that what you're saying?
Mixing is the stage just before mastering.
Okay, yeah.
And it's like kind of it's a lot of decision making in where things should sit in relation to each other. And like I still get the final say. So if there's something that I want to change, I tell my engineer to do that. Yeah, but this has like what people are going to hear is like pretty hard R&B influences in there.
Mm.
Like I've been listening to a lot of Kalani and
He's coming soon.
Yeah. Oh my god. Wait. When?
She's coming. I don't know. Maybe August, September.
Oh my god.
But she has a tour in Australia.
Oh yes.
She hasn't said anything.
Dude, they're all coming. Okay. Keep saying names because they might just
coming. Yeah, they're coming too.
Cool. Yeah. But yeah, like Kalani, Jeremiah, kind of vibe is definitely like one half of the record. There's a little bit of like house and kind of underground garagey feels in there as well, like
right.
In terms of the production, which is cool. You know, there's still a fair bit of hip hop and kind of some trap touches on there.
Cool.
The Wu-Tang comes out.
But then the other side is this deep introspective, like experimental production pop where like my voice is fuzzy as hell and buried under there again.
Nice. Any advice to an aspiring young sound engineer?
Oh, yes. What do you do, Jeanette?
Not much. Just chilling here. No.
Are you looking to do studio engineering?
I actually dabble more into post-production.
Post-production.
Yeah, so cool. More of like films, ads, TV.
Right. Do sound design as well?
Yep,
cool. Just be on time, I guess, in that world.
I'm always on
time.
Your deadlines. Some people aren't.
Okay.
Yeah, that's true.
Just don't burn out. You know.
Yeah.
Try to have fun. Yeah. Try to have fun while you're doing it.
That's hard, isn't it? Because audio can take such a long time and you kind of can forget why you're doing it, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is, I guess, is the same for anyone with a passion and something they're trying to push, especially out of a day job or similar.
Mm.
We see there's a gig coming up at Federation Square later this month.
Yeah. With Remy.
Yeah.
What's that about?
So it's the Victorian Multicultural Commission, VMC. They are putting on their, I think they do it yearly. It's the Victorian Multicultural Festival.
Right.
And on the main stage at Fed Square, there's several different programs running. And I think the final one is the music one, which is called Culture Waves. And that's got Billy Davis, us, and Remy in that order.
Wow.
From 7 o'clock. And it's going to be free and all ages because it's just,
25th.
Saturday.
Right. Yeah. So you've got, it's a busy week for everyone because we've got the K-pop night that we're emceeing at Monash on Thursday night. Friday night
can
is...
Can I come to that?
Yeah.
You sure can.
Right. Sweet.
Are you of age?
Yeah.
Alcohol is involved.
Okay. All right. Yeah.
And obviously Friday night is Asia Pop Fest.
Yeah.
Ailey and Nathan Horonto.
Yep, there you go.
Wow, what a busy weekend for music lovers in Melbourne.
There's a lot going on.
Great that it's a free event. What's next for you this year?
Well, apart from my record, which is taking up most of the year, that's going to come in August to September, but we're releasing songs pretty much starting next month. I'm working with a guy called Charlie Lim. Do you guys know Charlie?
Yes. Charlie Lim's from Singapore, right?
That's right. Yeah.
And a friend of Drew Chen's.
A friend of Drew's.
There you go.
I know Drew Chen.
Yeah.
Drew Chen's
well, you
great.
Used to, but he stopped answering calls.
Uh-oh, what happened there?
Oh, no, it's just Drew Chen's number one fan.
Lusting over Drew Chen. Found out that he's getting married, you know.
And was happy.
Yeah. Oh, good. That's so respectable.
But so Charlie, that's fantastic.
Yeah, he and I are working on some songs. Don't know what's happening yet with them, but we're really enjoying ourselves.
He's here in Melbourne at the moment.
Right. Yep. He's doing a gig at the Sydney Music Mobile at some stage, but you keep your eyes out for that.
Cool.
So I think it might be Asia
Topper.
Yeah.
The one that will be at with Ailey.
So that's Friday night.
Yeah.
Friday. Yeah.
Which is going to be huge. Like, that's, I mean, amazing, that's a great venue. I'm pretty sure Asta's keen to like get me in to do some more stuff.
Great.
We've been talking about it a lot, and it's just about our scheduling, really.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, I guess I'm looking for work after that. I don't know when. Yeah, I don't know how I'm going to find it.
Well, I hope, yeah, tell us about it. Well, we hope that you can keep us posted on everything you're working on from here on in.
Absolutely.
It's been great to have you in. And, you know, I might as well ask you, because it's obviously something that a lot of us have to deal with. Mm. I guess I had the same situation at school that you might have. Mm. Not the most popular guy. Mm. What advice can you give to people listening that perhaps, you know, go through a little bit of tough troubles, times at school, or a bit of bullying? Because, it you know, when we're in that moment, it's hard to see light at the end of the tunnel, and you start to believe things that people might be saying to you. In my experience, I don't know about you, but as you get older, you realize it's a distant memory, and the things that make you different that people find quite challenging early on are the things that actually make you such an amazing person and give you the creative vibes that you need to succeed in life, right?
It makes you a lot stronger, I think. You might not have the confidence now, but when you look back and see how people might have treated you, you'll get it later, and you'll figure it out. I hope you will. As long as like you find at some point good friends that you can trust and stuff like that. One other piece of advice, which it's an ugly habit that's been coming out in me lately. I found myself teasing people just for comedic effect, and I need to stop that.
Like playful teasing, like their degree in the emotion.
Nah. I intend for it to be playful.
Your advice is to become the bully.
Don't. That's what my advice is, to don't become the bully. And it's easy to do. It's that whole, it might sound cliche, but no, if that's the way you've been treated, maybe that's the way you know.
And I think sometimes people feel like to protect themselves, they have to attack first, but it's not really the case. You probably have to take a step back and try and understand why someone's saying what they're saying, have a thick skin and put that shield on, let it bounce off.
That's right. And yeah, like, I mean, I hope my friends know that I'm just playing around.
I'm sure they do.
Yeah.
Plus, it's fun to see those bullies years later not really amount to much. That's always helpful.
Oh, yeah. That's so satisfying.
Can you please remind us how our listeners and, of course, how we can support you, purchase your music, follow you on social media?
All my tags are Snacks with Yo. So that's SNACKS with
the best hashtag.
Yo, Y-E-O. Because Yo was taken by some famous Korean,
yeah,
just sick. That's fine.
A little bit mad.
A little bit, like low key mad.
Is she certified? down for that.
I think she's got a
tick.
But yeah, you can find me that, or like just Google Yo Music, Y-E-O Music. My stuff's on Spotify, iTunes, Bandcamp, all the stuff. You can find it everywhere. Yeah,
excellent.
Just gotta look for it.
Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.